Hello and welcome to Haz Matters, the dangerously good hazmat podcast, where dangerous goods experts share their insights on what's most important right now in the hazmat supply chain. I'm Jeff Siegel, a primary writer for the Label Master blog. With me today is James Wyatt, general manager of Aero Concept, and today's topic is the air cargo supply chain. Welcome back, James.
Hi, Jeff. Great to be here.
So, James, supply chain capacity is a huge story these days. How does capacity look right now in the air cargo supply chain?
Well, it's a great question and a great one to kick off the conversation. And thank you again for the opportunity to be with you today. Capacity is a word that has been at the forefront of many people's minds over the last months and years, and let's say, since the pandemic started. Air cargo capacity has been at a premium since the start of the pandemic. It remains a pain point for the industry. And when I say industry, I mean the supply chain from the shipper through to the freight forwarder, through to the airline themselves. Right now, industry is improving its levels of capacity on the passenger side. And as we know, passenger aircraft, when they carry passengers, also carry cargo. Dedicated cargo aircraft are flying at their absolute maximum, what we would say block hours. So the maximum amount of time that they are able to operate within the various limits of operations, which is mainly driven on a maintenance perspective per aircraft. What we are seeing still is many airlines utilizing passenger aircraft just for lower deck capacity on certain routes. I was in Munich earlier this week and had a meeting with the head of ground operations at the airport that works for and on behalf of Lufthansa. And he was telling me that they've just recently resumed servicing Oman Air coming from Muscat into Munich with an A330, purely carrying cargo. No passengers, no cabin crew, obviously the flight deck crew to operate the aeroplane, just because capacity is at such a demand from the supply chain. And naturally, the positive consequence of that is that airlines are able to have a piece of that cake, to jump on very, very high yields when we look at a per kilo rate, and to be able to offer the local market within the country where they operate, as well as the transit market, the opportunity to have capacity. So it remains an ongoing topic. We are moving now, as we stand running towards the end of October, into the so-called peak period, which is an annual peak with the lead up to the festive celebrations towards the end of the year. Including obviously Thanksgiving within the US, there's a lot of movement which is taking place, and the demand for capacity will only increase. So as passenger airlines start to reintroduce certain services, that of course adds capacity, but the demand may outstrip the capacity based on, on the so-called peak period. And obviously there is always the plus and minus of what's happening with the pandemic still, as we in the Northern Hemisphere move towards the winter season, then naturally cases within the pandemic will rise. Will borders close? Does it mean then that airlines will reduce services and so on? So I think capacity is definitely a critical topic, and it will remain so. I know that airlines are working very, very hard to try to provide as much capacity as possible, but for the supply chain or the start of the supply chain, so from the shipper and the freight forwarder perspective, it certainly remains a challenge, as we see in other modes of transport as well, whether that be sea, whether that be road. In certain countries, there are issues obtaining trucking capacity as well, which is obviously difficult. But I am very proud, I have to say, as an aviation enthusiast, that air cargo is certainly still flying the flag from a supply chain and a capacity perspective, although it is very challenging.
Wow, that's a really vivid picture. I wonder, are there simple numbers that can explain the capacity issue? In other words, I mean, can you say the air cargo supply chain is at 98% of capacity or at 102% of capacity? Can it be boiled down like that?
Not really, because schedules are changing so quickly. I would say demand is certainly a lot higher. If you look at the estimated forecast of air cargo, it's forecasted to grow in general at 9.5% this year and 5.6% in 2022, which are quite significant numbers. So whether capacity is able to support that, obviously, is a different story. The main driver, of course, or one of the main drivers, is e-commerce. And what do we mean by e-commerce? Well, that's the smaller, high-speed shipments, whether that's from, you know, from an Amazon or from an express integrator, that need to be delivered in a short space of time, because buying behaviors across the world have changed. We've seen a big shift from the so-called B2B into B2C, so in the business to customer sector. And e-commerce has been certainly fulfilling those requirements, but still ultimately it requires capacity, no matter the piece, number, weight, size, commodity. It requires capacity to move from a location to another location. This is a big challenge. But in terms of the numbers of capacity that are available, I think it's quite difficult. And you're seeing weekly shifts more or less of capacities on certain trade lanes, driven by what airlines are able to operate and provide, driven by what governments are allowing in terms of borders being open and closed. So it's quite an interesting situation with lots of balls in the air, as I would say.
Yeah, for sure. So a lot of people these days are talking about supply chain disruptions. It's even in the mainstream news, which is, you know, usually supply chain doesn't make mainstream news. So obviously we had huge ones like the Suez Canal incident earlier this year, but hundreds of smaller disruptions. Is air cargo causing any of these issues, or is it really rescuing the supply chain from these issues?
It's become what has always been the hero of the air cargo supply chain. It's certainly not causing these issues. I think it's certainly fulfilling the requirements of the supply chain for fast, safe, and efficient transport in a short space of time. So in terms of disruption, what you see on the ocean compared to what you see in air, I don't really think it is comparable. It's more the scramble for space that the supply chain is obviously looking for. And from what you said in the beginning about, everybody's looking for capacity. Yes, that's absolutely right. And I think air cargo is doing its absolute level best to provide that capacity. But as I said before, it certainly remains a challenge. But air cargo is certainly not a victim. I would say quite the contrary of a victim. It's the shining light that's able to deliver, and also, for the aviation industry, it's certainly for many, many airlines a very, very positive spin on what has been and remains a very, very difficult time for airlines. And through this process, I think air cargo has certainly gained more respect, both within the supply chain, within airlines, within the groups of airlines, and also with the general public. As you said in the beginning, it's not very often that you see the supply chain on mainstream news. Perhaps you would say as well, why would you? But the pandemic has certainly opened people's eyes, I think. And when I say that, I mean, you know, more towards the general public. I think if you work in air cargo, as I've had the pleasure of for the last 20 years, it's always been an industry which has been delivering on the front line, urgent shipments, specializing in various commodities, improving people's lives on a daily basis, providing that infrastructure. That's something that we've been doing in air cargo for years. So I think the fact that it's had the possibility to gain more respect, if you like, and more standing within airlines, within the supply chain, and within the general public, I think is a very, very positive thing. And if it wasn't for air cargo, then we would have seen some very, very different results for airlines. I mean, there were airlines, cargo airlines, that reported their best ever years in 2020, yeah, from a revenue perspective, simply because the yields were so high based on limited capacity, obviously traditional supply and demand curve. And in some airlines now, you have on the top table together with the CEO, there's now a seat for air cargo. My own personal view on that is it's about time. Yeah, and that should have always been the case. So to answer your question, not a victim at all. I would say quite the contrary. And I think this is really one of the most positive outcomes of the pandemic from an industry perspective, that air cargo has elevated itself. And the other main outcome, I think, as we've seen a huge drive now in digitization and automation, which is very, very important for the industry. Air cargo is certainly behind on that front, certainly from a paper-based way of working, which has been hanging over the industry for many, many years. I heard from the IATA World Cargo Symposium a couple of weeks ago in Dublin that e-airway bill is at now something around 75%, and they hope to have 100% achievement by the end of 2022, which I think is a fantastic forecast, and hopefully that's certainly something which can be achieved. Then when you take it to the second level and you start to look at specific commodities that perhaps some of our listeners are more interested in when we talk about dangerous goods and the so-called dangerous goods declaration, that's something which is, I would say, light years behind the airway bill, for example. But certainly there are initiatives, there are certainly products available that are able to support that. So the technology and the possibility is there. Now it's about bringing the industry to the point where they're able to make that transition, and we've certainly seen in the last 18 months and beyond that there is a shift.
Well, I want to dig a little deeper into that topic, waybills and dangerous goods declarations. Sure. Now, when you're saying airway bills just in general, 75% of them are now digital?
Yeah, that's correct. So the so-called electronic airway bill, so where the shipper or the freight forwarder is transmitting the airway bill. And so, as a reminder, the airway bill is the contract between the shipper and the airline towards the consignee, which details the pieces, the weight, the various rates, so on. And these are now 75% globally from the supply chain, coming in at 75% rates electronically, which is a great achievement. I mean, IATA has worked extremely hard over the last years to progress that figure. And I think the pandemic has certainly been what I would call an accelerator for programs like that and for digitization in general. With dangerous goods, there are a couple of challenges with it. The complexity of the data on the dangerous goods declaration, the regulatory requirements that still require paper to be shipped together with the consignment. Yeah, so shipment or consignment. I think consignment is the more appropriate regulatory term. And a lot of states, a lot of countries or states require that this piece of paper is also translated into different languages. So we base the global regulation, the binding regulation is in English, but a certain authority, for example, in Spain, might require that the shipper also has to present the shipments, the consignment to the airline or their contracted ground handler in English and in Spanish. So there are still a lot of specialist requirements that are required. So I think there's definitely the element of change management within the industry, so within the supply chain, but there are definitely elements where governments and regulators can certainly support that transition and realize that the further we move towards a world of digitized data from the first step in the supply chain, where you then for reduce the human input and the human interaction from a data input perspective, is that your supply chain becomes safer. If the accuracy of the data is checked at the first point where it's injected, where the consignment is injected into the supply chain, then that data is then secure all the way through until the end of the cycle when it's delivered to the consignee. And currently within the process, you have various touch points requiring human interaction, whether that's doing the acceptance of a dangerous goods consignment, whether that's inputting data for the notification to captain after the buildup has been completed, during aircraft loading, etc. So there are lots of hurdles to overcome, but I think the success of what IATA has delivered with the electronic airway bill is certainly good, and we need to see that now across the other commodities within air cargo.
Yeah, definitely, we've been talking about this for several years, the EDGD, if you will, and it's very interesting what you said about it making the air supply chain safer. In terms of capacity, how do electronic weigh bills, electronic dangerous goods declarations, do they speed up the process? Do they in effect create more capacity that way?
I wouldn't say that they create more capacity. I think perhaps what it does do is it does increase the percentage, the number of consignments which are flying then as booked, because obviously capacity is certainly at a premium. So a shipper and a freight forwarder want to make sure that their shipment is going to fly within the space that they've had secured on a certain flight. If it doesn't make that flight, then obviously the process starts again to try and get capacity in what is a very, very difficult market at the moment. So data accuracy can only support that, because I think it's about speed. You're able to identify if there are issues within the data message a lot earlier than if it's received at the export counter of an airline or their contracted ground handling agent. When the shipment physically arrives at the facility, if the data can be seen well before that, even before the shipment or the consignment has physically left the shipper or the freight forwarder's facility, and the airline can say, yeah, hang on, we have an issue here with the data, then obviously that's already being one step ahead. And in the paper-based environment, you very, very often have the case where it becomes very, very reactive instead of proactive. So of course, some shippers and freight forwarders, they will scan the dangerous goods declaration and they will send it to the airline for the airline to check before the shipment or the consignment is physically delivered to the facility of the airline or their contracted ground handler. But it's all about time. How can we make the process of export acceptance more efficient to not only support the airline, but also importantly to support the shipper and the freight forwarder? So the quicker that we can get over to the electronic style, which we do see the shift. I mean, there are many, many initiatives and products out there. But as I mentioned before, the world of dangerous goods is certainly one of the more complex topics within the commodity sphere, if you like, of air cargo. But in reality, there's no reason why it can't work. And provided that regulators state authorities, civil aviation authorities are able to see that and realize the, you know, the benefits, then, you know, I think it's a win-win for everybody. And ultimately, it improves the one word which in aviation everybody wants to improve, and that's safety.
James, this is such an interesting and important topic, but we're about out of time for this session. Would you be willing to come back and pick up this conversation again?
Jeff, absolutely. I think there's a lot of material here that we can certainly continue with. It'd be a pleasure to talk to you again, and looking forward to the next one.
All right. Let's do that real soon. But thanks so much, James. That was James Wyatt, General Manager of Aero Concept, and we'll continue this conversation with James during part two of this podcast. Meanwhile, you can hear a replay of this conversation and all our other podcasts at labelmaster.com/podcasts. And remember, you can get many of your DG shipping questions answered free at the Label Master Regulatory Hotline, 1-800-621-5808, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening to HazMatters, the Dangerously Good HazMat Podcast.